Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is the Nerds Watching Wrestling Podcast. Where not even the chamber can hold us down for being eliminated out of your ear space as we talk about some good old wrestling.
I'm gonna eliminate myself from that opening right now. Like I'm not show up to the chamber. I'm so sorry, folks. Like, there was visa issues, but like, yeah, you can keep going, but like, I promise you
wouldn't have liked the alternative to what I had for this interest.
I don't like that, so like, you're probably right. You are probably right. That being said,
I am the Southern Wrestling Scholar, CJ Pierce, in the booth with me, obviously, the quantum deniable one, JQ Williams.
Yours truly.
And as always, the Reaper, Tori C.
In the clouds, baby.
Boy, howdy. And how y'all gentlemen doing, man?
I mean, we here, apparently, in the Elimination Chamber, but like, it's whatever.
Yeah, I'm still upside down in Perth.
Yeah, man, you know, like
it's,
I said,
it's still 3 o'clock in the morning over there.
It was real. It was real. Who passed out? I won't know who passed out.
I went home and went to sleep. Like I told y'all on the pod what I was gonna do. I went home, I went to bed. I woke up to the news. I was like, all right, cool, that happened. it sounded like a good show.
I muscled through the whole show. I did that.
Yes, he did.
I did that.
And here's your metaphorical invisible cookie.
All right. I'll say, but yes, the road to WrestleMania has been set. Like I said, we covered the Elimination Chamber last week. Now we're here with the fallout from our time here in Perth, as well as some other wrestling news, including, once again, a new champion being crowned on TV. It happens every week.
Every week. We're here. We make moments, people. This is what happens here.
I'll say we're also going to get into some predictions into tomorrow night's AEW Revolution card. Yes, I said tomorrow night because we are doing this on a Saturday, because as you all know, Tony Khan Promotions will have us.
Tony Khan, TKP TV gonna have us down till about 11 o'clock. And I love y'all, but I'm not recording anything after that.
I'm not recording anything before or after that. I'm using all my time tomorrow to get ready to watch this show.
And be in place for 4 hours of my life.
The necessary energy needed.
Cause like it's gonna be a long one. Like y'all, we're gonna get into that full 11 match card.
11 matches, people.
In a minute, but this wrestling, we gotta talk about some things that happened in the outside world, and we start this week's episode off with sad news in the wrestling world. We've lost two legends this week in professional wrestling. First one being Alan Rogowski, better known to wrestling fans of the 70s and 80s as Ole Anderson, original member of the Four Horsemen, alongside Ric Flair, J.J. Dillon, and kayfabe nephew Arn.
Don't leave out he was original member of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Daddy.
I was a tag team champion from NWA, AWA, WWF, just all around decorated athlete. So we extend our well wishes to his family. Also, the late Michael Jones, also known to the wrestling world as Virgil.
R.I.P. to the right hand man, people.
Has passed along this week. Most famously known for being the right hand man to the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase Sr. Until that famous I'm Bigger Than That breakup. Also went down to WCW as a member of the NWO as Vincent. Latter years known somewhat controversially for his social media presence and outside behavior, especially at conventions, but that doesn't take away from the legacy.
Oh yeah, what you do in the ring is one thing.
Like, that will not take away his legacy, especially the importance of seeing a man of color on TV at the time. Like, that will never be. Like, y'all,
I mean, he was working for somebody, but we were still doing it. He was working for somebody, but we was in the door. That's what.
Like, it's representation that counts, and at the time, that's more than we could have asked for.
That's all we needed back then, folks.
So we also extend our well wishes to the Jones family in this time of their bereavement. Okay, so how do we transition from that into wrestling?
I was going to say insert Undertaker Bell here, but I feel like that shouldn't have been said. So, like, we're just going to start talking.
If we had the sound effects, it probably would have fit a little bit.
Maybe a little Tim Bell salute, but like not just Mark Calloway's menacing gong.
Right, I'll tell you what, let's just start from what's fresh. Let's get into SmackDown. Okay, by the reaction of that, ladies and gentlemen.
Because unlike for the next two times, we are not going to get it out the back end. We're going to start on Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Because I'm sorry, like, after watching SmackDown, like, I was not impressed with this episode at all. So the longer we can prolong that, let's talk about some real stuff. SmackDown was a drama show.
It was tweeted that night, I ain't watching all that. I'm sorry that happened, or happy for you.
Oh, baby, Cody Rhodes was petty.
It was that bad?
It wasn't bad, but Cody Rhodes is just petty, because now, after you hear what I got to say about Raw, you'll understand what mood Cody Rhodes is in. Like, Cody Rhodes is about to get it in.
Let's get it.
So let's jump into the flagship.
Are you ready?
That's still SmackDown.
I was making sure you were ready to talk about Raw. I know what I'm doing here.
I said you ready to go to the flagship.
I'm a professional.
Bright lights, hot crowd guarantee. We go.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's still To Be Loved by Papa Roach, but that's beside the point.
It's still Across the Nation, but whatever.
It's Monday Night Raw is what it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the theme song beef is real.
Because it's Across the Nation, but...
I mean, he wrong, but like Monday Night Raw started off...
Monday Night Raw started off with the winner of the 2024 Women's Elimination Chamber match, the man, Becky Lynch. You know, she's excited. Like, she finally won another thing.
Like, yet another thing in this selfless year that Becky has had. Former NXT Women's Champion, former WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. I beat Trish Stratus. All this in the past year. But yeah, Becky, you so selfless. Like a martyr to the cause is what she is.
And then Rhea Ripley said, with all that you said, Rhea Ripley came out and said, you finally managed to do something to impress me and to get back at my level. Because I'm still mommy.
And is.
I said a little quick little dom heat.
Mommy's always on top.
Basically say behind it, like the man always thinks they're in charge, but behind every man is a greater woman, and I'm definitely not behind you.
She ain't.
So yeah, we finally made it around to what we said we was gonna get. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship. At WrestleMania, how y'all feeling about the man possibly dethroning Mommy?
I want to know what Becky gonna do when she lose.
That was good.
Just asking, like, the fans want to know. Like, I'm talking like the fans want to know as we are live streaming. They too would like to know, like, what's next for the man when that door closes.
Charlotte Flair, but not saying as her opponent, as in like that's how she decides to just run the rest of her career. Because now like I said, it's like Becky Lynch is definitely giving me Charlotte Flair vibes now.
Oh wow, really?
Like I said, like every time someone go out and cut their promo on somebody about being something that they ain't, how they never do that, they show to become that person eventually.
I mean,
which is why I'm low key glad Bayley ain't on these promos as long as Bayley just gets to continue to be the best.
I mean, she the best at getting beat up right now, but that's a story. That's a story for later on. We'll talk about that then.
I was like, but yeah, this is definitely going to be like, I'm not going to say this is going to carry off you for the Women's World Championship until the summer, but like this is definitely going to be like a
two pay-per-view feud.
This is definitely a two pay-per-view feud.
Man, I actually don't see nothing wrong with it, but I'm with you guys. I don't think she's gonna win at Mania though. For real. I think this is Rhea Ripley's time, and the one thing that's so good about it is she's getting all the credit for what she does in the ring. She don't be doing no like all these crazy photo shoots and all this stuff. Her in-ring performance speaks for itself, dude. It's just simple as that.
Like you gotta love when you could just like when. Like, when your presence alone now demands attention, because, like, Rhea, like they said, Rhea came in what could be seen as, like, a little chip on her shoulder. Like, she was already compared to the next Charlotte Flair. So, and then coming in so young, I want to say she signed her WWE contract at, like, what, either 19 or 21, one of them two?
Yeah, she was young, bro.
Young.
And has just been on a tear since she got here, like, the inaugural NXT UK.
That tear has some hiccups.
Women's like, champion.
She's had trajectory since she got here.
Hey,
there's nothing she hasn't held. Like, as far as, like, championships go, like, every active women's championship I'm able to hold, Rhea Ripley has held it. NXT yep. UK Women's, NXT WWE Women's Tag, Raw Women's, SmackDown Women's, current WWE Women's World. Like, last year had the Rumble record. Like,
Mommy's always on top.
You guys,
that's one heck of a breakout.
You guys remember what made her cut her hair?
Being compared to Charlotte.
Exactly.
Like, she came out smiling and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
And the crazy thing
is, Charlotte,
when I saw that,
And she said, no way in hell I'm going to be compared to Charlotte Flair. I was like, yeah, dude, she wants to be her own person. I love that. Hell yeah.
Like, cannot wait for WrestleMania. But just for, you know, from a little sugar on the cake, because no, it's still is a show we putting on. Nia Jax just came down to ran shop on Becky Lynch. Sour grapes, like, after not winning the chamber. Like, so, you know, just had to run down on Becky Lynch, let her know what's up. Like, whatever, y'all all think y'all going to WrestleMania, but there's only one man.
And she's right about it all. Like,
I'm saying, we didn't have our first action of the night, as once again, Shinsuke Nakamura takes on Sami Zayn. This match was a lot better than their last match, though. I'm not even going to front. Like, this match was a lot better than their main event match from a couple weeks ago. This one got a lot of time, a lot of very good wrestling, like, paced very well. Highlight to me is when Sami Zayn manages to escape three separate Kinshasas. Like I take one to the back of the neck, I kick out of that one. I take one to the side, kick out of that one, and roll out to the ring. Take another one outside to get my foot on the rope, barely, just to come back and haluva kick him and Shinsuke Nakamura. First of all, in the back of the head. That's what we not finna do. a haluva kick to the back of the head?
Straight concussion.
Ain't selling that. Ain't taking that.
But obviously, it did conclude with another haluva kick to the front. Sami Zayn.
So you mean to tell me? Why?
Why you been tormenting me, Mr.
Nakamura? The first one was to the back of the head.
First one was to the back of the head, then lined them back up for another one.
If I'm Shinsuke Nakamura, I'm really finna go back to Japan.
Because we definitely lost it. Because y'all lost this bid to Okada, so like.
Definitely lost his Okada bid, and I promise you, if he's Cody first for you, when Cody get that belt, I'm going to unsubscribe from WWE.
I think they still feud
on your Peacock. Like, I'm gonna use your Peacock and unsubscribe from WWE for you. Like, I'm gonna do it for you, for us. Like, it's for the greater good.
Hey, have you guys seen the mock-ups of Sami Zayn being injected into the Money world? The world.
Oh, the world title picture.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
You know, because if it's not official, I don't believe it. But
it wasn't. It wasn't believable when him and Roman were feuding. It's not believable now.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, but
I don't.
Especially
like,
not right now.
Like,
as hot as it is right now.
You just finally won a match. Like,
yeah. I'll say that again.
And then you beat Shinsuke, who equally wasn't doing nothing. So like,
but okay. Beat you twice for line.
Okay. World title guy.
I guess, but
please don't gender Mahal Sami Zayn. Like, ooh, I'm
going because the moment I'm going to laugh. Because the moment he fight Cody for that belt and Cody get injured, I'm going to just be in tears for Cody Rhodes, because I'm gonna be laughing. Like, oof.
Next up in women's division action, Raquel Rodriguez just, you know, did something to Chelsea Green for 2 minutes.
Raquel Rodriguez, WWE jobber Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green said, crossed the line three times. Raquel did threw her three times. She got a bomb then. Like,
Raquel Rodriguez fights local jobber, embarrasses her, and wins.
Raquel Rodriguez is my 2024 Miss Money in the Bank.
Tiffy time, shut up, but yeah,
give this woman her due. Y'all did not call this back up for nothing. Like,
we called a lot of people up and called a lot of people back for nothing. So like, it's okay. It's perfectly fine because Karrion Kross still ain't doing nothing. That's still a story for a later subject. But still,
they had a digital exclusive. We are not talking about him this week.
He is just my favorite one to talk about because baby, like, he is one of the first ones. Like,
all like, that said, they had a YouTube exclusive this week. They do not make the cut.
We brought so many people back. Like, don't act like we don't bring people back just to not use them. Come baby, Naomi. Speaking of Tiffany and Money in the Bank and all that, Naomi just lost to Tiffany Stratton in 3 minutes.
That match
it was not former TNA Knockouts World Champion last month said that just lost in 3 minutes.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that, baby. But like, yeah, like we call people back and not use them. So
like I want so much for Raquel. Like, should have won. I'm not saying she should have beat Rhea.
Should have won that match against Rhea. The one on Raw that Nia returned for. That match was mine. That match was won.
Yes.
Nia's return overshadowed it. So, yeah, nah. And once we, the company, put an overshadow on that means we not letting you do it.
That's why I said give it a Brie Kay.
Tiffany Stratton, but like
still just a little too early. Like Tiffany Stratton, especially with like how little women is on SmackDown, Tiffany Stratton could easily just matriculate into the title scene. I don't like Tiffany doesn't need the briefcase. Tiffany Stratton is just going to be in the
current
main.
The current title.
Especially if I get this dub over if I get this alleged dub in this alleged match with Bianca Belair, title match me now. Like, I beat Bianca Belair. Title match me yesterday.
Not even that, but like the current title picture of is a 4-on-1 handicap match. But like, yeah, we maybe we should have talked about SmackDown for a tour. Like,
I tried to tell you, I tried to tell you, bro.
Gotta keep this train rolling.
Maybe we should have hit it from the bike and like shit.
But yeah, man. I just hope it if it does play out like that and Tip does get the Money in the Bank briefcase, I honestly think going through NXT, like she probably has the maturity level within her to actually handle success because a lot of people can't handle that, man.
I had a no holds bar match with Becky Lynch, but it's whatever. It is whatever. The next thing that happened.
Oh, the next up we have Gunther. Celebrating his victory over Jey Uso, victory quotations because you know bloodline.
I mean, who got a W?
And now Gunther is looking for his next challenger, where he is interrupted by the Judgment Day.
Yeah,
hey, baby. If you believe
Cody not here, we got to interrupt somebody. Like if you were in our ring grandstanding, like get interrupted, like because who are you?
Okay. Like, said World Tag Team Champion Damian, Mr. Money in the Bank, says that Judgment Day is still looking
speaking of Money in the Bank, like, let's address the elephant in the room.
Do I say it on mic finally? I say it on mic finally?
I mean, you can say whatever you want.
Okay,
but,
boom. So like I said, we're just going to redo Heist of the Century. Like, Cody going to finish his story for 5 minutes. Then while I'm running this confetti, like, Judgment Day going to mod, make sure the bloodlines... First of all, like, maybe we should have talked about SmackDown first.
I tried to tell you.
We're going to come back to all. We're going to come back to all of this. I'm going to put a fat daddy stamp right here. We're going to come back to all of this because now everything is coming up Drusilla.
Everything coming up SmackDown. So on Friday night.
So we got to get through the week then. But, I love when my plans come together. Anyway, Judgment Day said that they're looking... like for Intercontinental Championship gold to go with because they want everything. The Gunther says, well, it don't look like you cashing in no briefcase right now. Is it going to be Finn Balor or is it going to be the one with the big head? Like, look at Jamie McDonald. Like,
they going to stop talking about my man. It's like,
and
man.
Who should step up but the hottest star in all of Judgment Day? Dominic Mysterio.
You were going to say R-Truth and I was going to be mad. I was going to be real mad. I was going to lead this part.
Boy, Dominic Mysterio stepped up to Gunther and even backstage Rhea Ripley were like, really, bro?
You sure you ready for this?
Dumb.
Two North American titles is cute and all.
And against Wes Lee is cute and all, but like, but Gunther, like.
We're talking about a man whose chop is going to knock blood from your skin,
talking about the longest reigning intercontinental champion the company has had across all reigns. With this past title reign, Gunther just got it, like 640 something.
But bro, you think Gunther kicked Damon in the cojones the way he just shoved Dom? Because Damon got big man when Gunther shoved Dominic.
You do not shove him.
Took off his little vest and all threw down the brigade. Like, bro, what's been a mob off on
that's
Gunther
my little brother. You don't shove him.
Like, what's been a mob off on Gunther for a second?
It was not going to work out in his favor, but like, he was going to do it.
I'm saying, and this bleeds into our next match as Imperium, Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci took on New Day in the street fight. All right, this is where my low rating kicks in. I'm a professional. I believe we do things by the book. Everything happens for a reason and it's done on paper and should be done on paper as it's done on paper. This was a street fight. Ludwig Kaiser, Giovanni Vinci, where y'all jeans at?
They did not have
it on. They came out in gear. Yes. No, I am not. St- standing for. My street fight does not occur in wrestling gear. My street fight occurs in my wife beater, my jeans with my knee pads over my jeans,
and some boots,
and my bits.
I see that. I see that.
You are from Italy. You could have came in this thing looking like D'Angelo family. Casa, you could have turtlenecked looking like Christian Cage or something. Like the James Bond villain you are. But no, there is no sacred in street fight because y'all bit the rules more than anybody. Giovanni Vinci, you put in that work. This, first of all, if you was tired of them doing Vinci wrong, this was the match to watch. Vinci is just out here letting out aggression. Do you?
I see your discrepancy and I raise you. There is, they're like, wearing my gear in whatever match I'm in is sacred. This ring is sacred. Your street clothes, bum, should not touch this ring. Like the shit other people see, the stuff other people see you in, I should not see you in this squared circle. What you gonna see me in is what I'm prepared to wrestle you in, because that is sacred.
Nah, babe, it wasn't no wrestling in the match. It was a little bit, but it wasn't no wrestling in the match. This was a fight. Like I said, this is the Giovanni Vinci. I'm tired of y'all fight.
But even still, like, I came out in gear. This ring is sacred, bum. Put some clothes on. Like, where is your wrestling clothes? William Regal would scoff.
William Regal would come out in the street fight wearing a rope and then just knock you out with some brass knuckles.
Exactly. The robe being my gear. You mean the robe from my entrance gear? You mean the robe from the stuff I'm prepared to wrestle in, that I show up to wrestle you in? Exactly.
No, he's just going
to
be in the robe. There's going to be no gear. He's going to be in the robe.
There's going to be trunks and boots under that robe.
He's going to be in the robe. He's going to hit you with them brass knuckles. William Regal's going to leave. This is a street fight. That means I can just bare knuckle knock you out with these knuckles.
But I'm still going to be prepared to wrestle you should this robe come off. You're gonna see trunks and boots, sacred, lace up, bum.
You're gonna see lace up on the Regal Road, but like, that's messed up.
Oh, that's just funny.
Oh boy.
But yes, the night belonged to Imperium after what I want to say, it was like a cookie sheet to the head of Consequences Krieger. That's what that was. Like, that's who did that street fight. That wasn't Xavier Woods, that was Kofi Mensah and Consequences Krieger.
Kofi Mensah, oof. All right, then.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, they just stole Kofi's actual real name and put it on the metaphor, dude. But like, whatever.
Like,
but yeah, like, cookie sheet to the face of Woods, then immediately throws Woods into turnbuckle chair, and then the deepest roll up you can possibly imagine.
Hey, bro, like, gotta make sure you, like, gotta make sure you down.
I'm talking about hooked and stacked.
Gotta make sure you down there, bro. Like,
like, schoolboy went to Madden school. Like, come down. Like, that boy went to Harvard.
Oh.
But yes, Imperium comes out on top of this New Day feud. Hopefully this means that when Awesome Trophy gets these belts at Mania, Imperium immediately takes them. Like, immediately.
Like, the Raw after Mania just looks at Awesome Truth.
Nah.
Exactly. Nah.
Just right.
Come here. Come here. Just Imperium bomb. 1, 2, 3. Hit that pose real quick behind Gunther.
After the street fight, we then move on to The Way versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Choked out Mandy Hartwell.
Okay, cool. Like, Shayna Baszler and Natalya should finally make a team so they can stop being Frankenteams with all these other girls.
Shayna Baszler and Natalya are former tag team champions,
okay,
ain't it?
I hope. They could, like, if they are, can they just team up again? Because I'm so tired of Frankenteams between the both of them.
I'm a women's tag team champion. I'm pretty... Natty held hers
with Tamina. Shayna held hers with Nia.
They didn't get a run while they did it together.
No, so I need them to team up again. So, because, like, if I see one more Frankenteam between the two of them,
the Queen of Hearts and the Ace of Spades didn't win no tag titles. That's crazy.
It's wild.
Like, Queen of Hearts and Ace of Spades can't get no books.
The Submission Specialists didn't get a single one.
Ooh,
so, like,
get Natalya and Shayna off my table.
Like, you started talking about it, like. Like, this, and this is Zoe Stark's second tag team on the main roster.
The one with Trish don't count because I was not a tag team partner of hers. I was a mentee of hers.
This is Zoe Stark's second time being attached to a woman and not a singles run on the main roster.
I fought Rhea once.
So the next thing to happen on Monday Night Raw, ladies and gentlemen,
is Drew McIntyre came out and laid down these facts. You, Seth Rollins, get out of this bloodline drama so we can focus on our match. Because I, Drew McIntyre, the new winner
if you
of
were,
the 2024
if you
Men's Elimination Chamber. Like, you being involved in the bloodline stuff, me and these people are going to get involved in my match. And I don't need these people getting involved in my match again. Like, this is my world title match.
Bro, Drew gonna bust an aneurysm if the Bloodline get involved in this WrestleMania match.
And that's what he's telling Seth, like, bro, back up. Let Cody fight his own battles.
Boy, we really gotta talk. We really should have talked about SmackDown. But, like, if Drew McIntyre
didn't know that Raw was just gonna lead to SmackDown.
And Raw just belayed in, like, Blue River. But, like, if Drew McIntyre sees Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania, just see him in general, like, at WrestleMania, that Claymore gonna be the realest sword we ever saw, and it's going straight for Solo. Ooh.
I'm saying, but Seth says that, you know, it's just like something about my daughter, something about something.
Something Liberty, something I carry this company, something you're not ready, Drew McIntyre.
No, none of that. Like, didn't address Drew McIntyre at all.
Exactly.
Like, just like some risks need to be taken. We got to take out the Bloodline once and for all. Boy, cannot wait till we get to SmackDown.
just like, all right, listen to her next week. Like,
yeah.
All right.
So yeah, like, does Drew have a point? Like, does Seth need to chill out so we can get ready to focus on our match?
As I just said, if Drew McIntyre even see Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania, he gonna come at him with that Claymore, and I'm not talking about the kick. And I am not talking about the kick. He gonna swing that sword. You remember when he broke the top ring of the top ring? Well, the top rope ring with the sword. This is exactly what's gonna happen to Solo. Like, just straight down the middle. He's gonna bisect that man.
See how you feel.
Man, I'm laughing. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm laughing because I'm literally visualizing
Drew running that solo. His solo
is at the back of the line. He just come out of nowhere. But
speaking of Solo, let's talk about him being dressed in gear every time he show up with the Bloodline, like something to happen, like just real quick, like baby be in full gear, like pads, tights, shit, tape and all, just to put his thumb in somebody's neck, scream and walk backstage. Like,
oh, ooh, that ain't the truth. But let me see it, man. Yeah, man, you should be focused on the task at hand.
My man got a point on two fronts. you have a challenger in front of you yourself. Like, don't look over me. Like, I'm like Drew McIntyre. I'm that dude. Like, B, the Bloodline gonna get involved in my match, and I just gotta hurt Solo Sikoa. Like, I ain't trying to do that.
My boy said the focal point of WrestleMania is take out Solo Sikoa, dude. Like, off the top.
Hey, baby. Like,
Jimmy got his hands full.
Jimmy definitely got his hands full because Solo the reason Cody didn't finish that story last time. Big Bad Wolf and that Thor. Like,
that's some serious, though. If you think about it, that is like, that's a hell of a game plan, though, for real.
Get rid of the Bloodline before Mania.
No, get rid of Solo.
That's what I'm trying to do. Instead of, I'm trying to get rid of all of them. Trying to get rid of Solo, trying to get rid of Jimmy. Jay, he over there, so he like, Jay already gone, like. Like I said, Jay ain't called no trouble. So like, Jim, what if you do though? What if they call him on WrestleMania night? What if Jay versus Jimmy at night when leads to Jimmy back in the Bloodline? I would just have to quit this podcast.
Like I said, baby, like, I'm gonna unsubscribe from WWE for you, for us, off your Peacock.
The moment Jay back with a one in his hand, I'm gonna just have to.
I'm gonna make all lead graphic for myself and put it online, like. Woo child, Quantum Nival is all elite. Like, I'm gonna send that graphic everywhere because WWE ain't gonna see me no more. Because Jimmy already did it. Like, Jimmy already left. But we still talking about SmackDown. Like, move, Raw, whatever is next.
Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan. Pretty standard women's match. Nia Jax did the my whole thing again. Like, she didn't scream, but like, apparently if you miss that leg drop on Dawn apron, she's just gonna keep making the faces, keep ripping that deal. So like, pandemic wrestling fans, y'all know what's going on at the party on the Monday night. So for my ages.
But
match ends in DQ because Becky Lynch
can't keep her hands to herself. I broke your nose.
Like, what, I broke your nose.
What more? Like, if like I broke your nose at not perfect form. Like I am now like perfect Nia Jax. Like, come on, like, run at it.
She is perfect Nia Jax. I love when Nia Jax come out with the curly wig. Like, love curly hair Nia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, love me some curly hair Nia. Like, love that. But yeah, Becky Lynch calls a no contest between Liv and Nia, with Liv even confronting Becky backstage. It's not all about you, Charlotte. I mean, Becky.
It's not all about you. I was doing something. Losing a match, but still, like, she was doing something. Becky Lynch didn't interrupt her. Rude.
And in the main event, Cody Rhodes took on Grayson Waller. Like, that just happened on free Raw television. That was your main event of Monday Night Raw. Cody Rhodes won, but
I was just going to say Grayson Waller won, and I was going to laugh.
That wasn't the story of this match. The story more came afterwards, because guess who just so happened to fly out to California? Paul Heyman.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And he,
that man named Paul Gates, but we're going to get to that in a minute.
Hey, it's funny,
like,
though,
that's Paul Gates, but we're going to get to that here in a second.
Like, he appeared like early in Raw. I can't remember whose segment it was in, but he had accidentally walked behind him, and I was like, look at Paul. I actually posted that.
Look at Paul.
Look at Paul sticking in his bitch, man.
He shows up with security because he didn't
have... He shows up with NYPD. Shows up to San Jose, California with NYPD. Suspended NYPD.
Yeah, suspended.
Sometimes they let you know. Sometimes they let you know it's fake, and you just got to pretend it really. Like, you just got
Paul Heyman just got three suspended NYPD people on his private. He's just ready to come to San Jose. You just got to really, really
where pretend.
Where does the entertainment line? Like,
I mean, it ends when you stop being entertained. Like, if you found it funny, hilarious, or you giggled at all, like, it worked.
I found it ghetto. Three suspended NYPD officers is just in your phone, ready to follow you to San Jose, California, so you can talk to Cody Rhodes.
I died a little bit at ghetto.
Ghetto.
But anyway, we know how security guards, NYPD people, and all the people of in law enforcement fare in the dudes.
Yeah, Paul Heyman says, like, I implore you to call off this stuff with The Rock. Cody, who at this point has a chair, says, if this is a setup, come get it.
That boy threw his hands together like Alphonse Eric and had a chair immediately. I was
like, Cody said, if this is a bloodline setup, come get it.
Let's just do it. Get it over with.
But then Paul said, there's no bloodline. But, like, if you want to get run up so bad, now, can we talk? Don't get in my ring. Like, next person stepping in me, I'm dropping everybody in the ring. Paul Heyman, that doesn't include me, right? I was like, I'm excluded from the rules, right? Tries to get in the ring. Nah. And then he immediately swings his chair.
I said anybody.
Like, anybody come near me, I'm swinging.
Anybody can get it.
And basically, like, after I lay down, them three suspended NYPD officers.
Because they got, like, they built like Stay Puft Marshmallow.
Hitting the black room with the crossroads at the end of Black History Month.
Wow.
Cody says that he is no longer being hunted by
the
Cody Rhodes.
No.
Hey, this is a kayfabe household. I am SWS DJP. Understand me? Thank you.
So, like I said, folks, sometimes they really let you know it's fake, and you just gotta believe it. You gotta blend in with it. Like, insert name or whatever you want to call the dude that's co-hosting this with me. Said what he said, and I'm just not gonna let it fly. Like, I'm gonna address it real quick. Whatever he want to be
it
called.
It was the end of Black History Month, and we dropped the black suspended NYPD police officer that Paul Heyman just brought to San Jose, California.
So WWE NXT happened, and that's what we're gonna just start talking about, right?
Yeah, Cody said. He is now the bloodline hunter instead of being hunted by the bloodline, and we go off the show adrenaline in my soul.
But no, we go off the show after Paul pulls out one phone to call. That is why I said we're gonna call him Paul Gates after this. Like, homie has an individual phone, one phone each to call The Rock and Roman Reigns,
and then talk to them both at the same time.
Like,
this did not go as planned.
Just both phones just right there.
Call Roman Reigns. Call The Rock.
I'm like, why is the man?
Because he enunciates so hard.
Why is the man's name on your phone The Rock? Like,
because I definitely don't know him well enough, or am liked by him well enough to call him Dwayne.
Everybody know a man well enough to call him Dwayne.
Nah, baby, like, hi Dwayne, how you doing? It's The Rock to you when we back here.
It's not, but it's
you
okay.
Like, you ain't Kevin Hart. Like,
it's Paul E. Dangerously, baby. I can call you whatever I want. I've been around.
Paul E. Dangerous canonically still owe everybody in the back money, so it's Paul Heyman.
Same dude. I can call you whatever I want. We've been talking about Raw.
But yeah, that was Monday Night Raw. Like I said, because of these jeans, I got to knock off 3 points automatically in these street fights. So I'm giving Raw a 7. Also because it was just mostly promo.
I'm gonna give it something higher than that 7 because you jealous. You just mad. You a bum and you wrestling street gear. It's okay. Like, but like I said, 8. The ring is still sacred. I can't even rate it, dude.
Like, be honest with y'all, dude. I was busy playing my video game.
Hey, bro, at least they got the ratings.
At least they got the number. Like, that's all that matters.
People probably gonna do the same thing to us, just like have us on in the background, but hey, it count.
We thank y'all for listening. We love y'all.
All next, that good stuff.
Next, we go to NXT, the Roar of Crap. And we open up with Kehlani Jordan taking on Kiana James. Why are you already laughing?
That one, your opener, but like, it was still wild. Like, you know, it happened, but like, Jesus, still. I'm just already laughing.
Kehlani Jordan, like, obviously, like, very good competitor in the NXT Women's Division, standout young woman. Competed in Deadline, even though she didn't get no points, like, still had an amazing showing out there. Slowly just rising up the car, like, getting momentum, obviously getting over, like, gets better in the ring with every appearance. Going against Kiana James, former NXT Women's Tag Team Champion.
Seasoned competitor, that Kiana.
Like, who obviously now, at this stage in the game, has young protege Izzy Dame, is what it is.
It is what it is.
And yes, Miss Dame definitely paid dividends towards the end of this match. I'm sorry. If you watched NXT, y'all will see that when Kalani tries to go for this springboard across his body, Izzy Dame yanks that girl off the rope. I don't yank her off the jump. I yank her off the rope. That's why it was even worse. I yank her off the rope.
Just yank.
And that back went straight across that apron, and it was an ugly landing.
It was groody.
I'm gonna say Rose Kalani in for the deal breaker. Kiana James picks up another impressive victory. This role that Kiana James is on obviously going to lead to an NXT title match with hopefully Lyra Valkyrie in the future. I say hopefully because things may be different as we go along.
There's probably gonna be a new champion by the end of this podcast, or by the time we see y'all next week. But it's okay.
By the end of the podcast, ain't too off-putting because Collision is probably on while we're recording. But next, in tag team action, Idris Enofe and Malik Blade, who can't buy a win at this point.
Like, boy, couldn't get it if you paid us, which we do. And that's
which
crazy.
We do.
And that's crazy.
This week, they fell short to the OC, who are now back in NXT after, you know, AJ Styles basically called them losers a couple weeks ago.
Were they in NXT before?
No. OC, they debuted. This is their first go round in the NXT.
Yeah, OC coming down. OC coming down to the white and gold.
Like I said, we came and followed AJ a couple times down here, but like as far as us doing something NXT, no, this is our round one.
Out here doing it.
But yeah, the OC came in, hit the magic killer on Idris Enofe for the win. After the win, Chase U comes out and interrupts, saying that just because y'all the OC don't mean y'all come around jumping people.
It kind of does, but.
And then that brings out Axiom and Nathan Frazier, whatever this.
Because Nathan Frazier got his Seth Rollins promo off again. Hey, it's not going down that way. Twice bars. In 2 weeks. Hey.
Bars. But I'm saying if anybody's going to take on the OC first, it's going to be them.
I don't see why.
And meanwhile, like, action speed louder than worlds as the Latino World Order, Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde just immediately just drop kicks them from the other side of the corners while y'all ain't looking.
Yet again.
Like talk is cheap. LWO stands for Lift Whoop Others. So, like.
Wow.
Like, get it done, baby. Like, y'all talking about who gonna jump on. I'm just gonna come off the back with the truck hits.
We damn. Just gonna get out there so, and do it.
So all the while, NXT Tag Team Champions, the Wolf Dogs, Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker just in the little NXT nest, watching them. I love the little NXT nest thing that they got up there. I always love the little bird pitch.
I can't wait for somebody to jump off that.
No. Someone has already, hasn't it?
I don't think so, no. We've seen video events just like doing the free falls. Just
no,
in case
like
of
two
trial.
People like canonically fell over that thing like in a feud.
Cora and Roxanne.
Yeah,
like that. No, that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, Cora and Roxanne actually fell from the bird next. Like,
I mean,
in their
I mean, one of your Angelico, you know, glide, all, like jump off that glide.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
yes,
oh, no,
yes,
no,
yes,
no.
I want one of those. I said jump.
No, baby,
I said
like,
jump.
No, nah, baby, temple things are temple. Like temple things are temple things, and we don't do temple things outside of temple.
I said jump.
Ooh, baby, like baby, ain't nobody got hops like Angelico. So first of all, he wishes because Prince Puma didn't do it. Prince Puma would have missed, and I would have just had to watch Ricochet die on a goddamn dirty San Jose slap. But like Angelico cleared that ring twice.
Oof, he did indeed. but you know.
Ooh, like Star had, we just had to go on a small Lucha Underground tangent. If you know, you know.
That is indeed true.
Like, if you know, you know. When it comes to Lucha Underground, if you know, you know.
And if you know, you're in the know.
But yes, tag team scene getting hot in NXT. Like, it ain't like it was never cold, but like, we starting to get back in there. Roxanne Perez takes on Jakara Jackson after, you know, Roxanne finds out that the reason she didn't get this title match in the open challenge last week is because she was in the shower while
Last Legend had a match and just was casually chilling backstage in gear, heard open challenge.
Because Lash had a match earlier in the night, so like, yeah.
Just Lash stayed in her gear the whole night just in case. Stay ready. You ain't got to get ready. Yes,
and that's basically what Jakara told Roxanne, and Roxanne got mad, I guess.
Roxanne got mad at the truth and hit Jakara for whatever reason, which led to them having this match.
Again, it was a decent showing by Jakara. She needs a little more time on offense. Like, she's great character. But she got to put in a little more work on her offense, especially when you get like a spotlight against an athlete the caliber of Roxanne.
Miss Jackson.
Like, former multi-time women's world champion. This was not Miss Jackson's night, as Roxanne Perez did tap Miss Jackson out with her new crossface submission, because crossface means I'm edgy.
That is essentially what that is. If I hit you with a crossface or a brutalizer, aka i.e. Liv Morgan when I was going for the title, that means I am edgy.
I'm saying Lyra Valkyria is next out to celebrate her title victory, and she says that she's going to hold up her end of the bargain with Tatum Paxley, so she invites her out to the ring and says that for staying backstage and doing what I told you, me and you have a tag team title match with the Kabuki Warriors next week. Yes, that is right. NXT Women's Champion Lyra Valkyria will team with her friend Stalker Tatum Paxley
She ain't called the girl Stalker Chillat. That's her friend.
For us that's watching this, especially for us to watch this entrance when I called her out here. Like I said,
they're
like,
friends. They care about each other. Tatum just cares a little bit more, and that's okay.
Cold wind screaming.
No.
Like, just my solo cup.
No.
But. But yes, next week, NXT Women's Champion Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley will team to take on the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships live on NXT. This is what happens when we call up our champions, then supplement their belts.
This is what happens when we call up our champions and then just get a belt hooked to a team that don't like that.
Because NXT used to have women's tag team champions.
Yes, they did.
We called them up and made them lose their belts to a team that don't even exist no more.
Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler.
I wasn't even gonna say their name because it was yet another Frank.
No, you gotta do it for the people who didn't know that was an actual thing.
It was yet another Franken team with Shayna Baszler. Like, even though it was
Ronda Rousey, that's crazy. It's not even a Franken team. It's the four horsewomen of MMA.
Even though it was Ronda Rousey, it was still a Franken team with Shayna Baszler, because Shayna Baszler doesn't do tag team wrestling.
Shayna Baszler don't do good singles wrestling no more, and that's because they
booked the board. I do good singles wrestling. I do great singles wrestling. I was that woman on NXT.
That was umpteen years ago.
And y'all brought me over here and then just decided, no.
Totally forgot about it, man.
Like, brought me over
Shayna
here
Baszler
decided,
ran
no.
the chamber her debut.
Ran it, and y'all just decided, no, not no more. You good.
I can see somebody making a DVD later on. WWE's most blown opportunities.
Boy, Shayna Baszler needs to be at the top of the list.
Top five, definitely.
We now move on into some more action as Dijak takes on Luca Crucifino, wrestling's newest lawyer.
Hey, baby.
First of all, Crucifino's a big guy. You said how big he was next to Dijak. Like, Definitely thought he was a lot smaller than that.
No.
But put in a good, decent effort against Dijak. Like,
put on a good show and got that back body drop off on the third attempt.
Oh, boy, taking them five claw locker, but just tried to chop at him because Dijak was not going down.
But I got that back body drop off, picked up big 6'8 Dijak.
And, like, it was finna dim too, but boy, Dijak and that cyclone boot, baby.
And then feast your eyes.
Like, still one of my top five finishing moves. Like, it looks so devastating. Dijak's so tall, so it's just coming down on
him. Like, you just coming down on the knee.
Like, you just coming down on the knee, just clack.
Yeah.
After the match, Joe Gacy appears and pops out of his straitjacket.
Breaking out of a straitjacket is more reason that you need to be in one, but it's okay.
I'm saying, and Luca Crucifino hits Dijak with the D'Angelo family branded crowbar that is kept under the stairwell.
It ain't no brand on it. Like, that's a crowbar.
Based on that placement, that is the D'Angelo family crowbar.
That is a crowbar that gets strategically placed. If I see you strategically place it, I can use it.
And he strategically placed it back.
Exactly. I'm a lawyer. You got to go back where it was.
And you a lawyer, and you also dwelled in the D'Angelo family affair, so we know what's going to happen to you for the next couple weeks, Mr. Crucifino. Yes, because
immediately after that match, after the Joe Gacy and Dijak things, Tony D'Angelo was watching backstage, sent his right hand. I was going to call him Stacks. That is Stacks.
It is Stacks.
Oh, boy. Okay, bet. Because if I would have said two times. The underboss. If I would have said two times, I would have just felt bad.
The underboss, Channing Stacks Lorenzo.
Told Stacks to go get him. Mm-hmm. Not right at this moment because he had other business to do, but he did tell Stacks to go get Mr. Crucifino.
So, like, gonna see how Buddy gets handled in a couple weeks.
I mean, I'm still a lawyer. Like, I'll put you right back in jail.
So Ridge Holland tries to apologize for beating up the members of Gallus, saying that it was no malicious intent or whatever. Water. Just for the
truth to set him for. Wait. Wrong promo. My bad. Wrong promo. Wrong person.
You like R-Truth, don't you, Squidward?
Absolutely not. But like.
But yes, the three mask promos finally come to an end as the arena goes dark. We played a little words over the screen. Spotlight hits the ring. Ridge Holland gets hit by a chair, and the reveal, the return, or debut, depending on how you look at it, because names.
The return. That's what again. WWE and the names. They call it the return of Shawn Spears, which is wild. Shawn Spears went with us.
But yes, yeah, perfect. Shawn Spears of AEW. And from WWE fans, the former Ty Dillinger.
And that's another thing. If he can come back as Shawn Spears, why did Trinity have to come back as Naomi?
That's a damn good
question. Like, we brought Shawn Spears to NXT, but WWE re-signed Naomi.
But Von Wagner takes on Lexus.
you doing one of my things. I got it. This is what I hoisted by my own petard.
Von Wagner takes on Lexus King, Matt. But Lexus King now and loses. When Von Wagner beats Lexus King, Lexus King, why are you here? Right. You just lost to Von Wagner.
I feel like if your name was Brian Pillman Jr., you would have had a better career by now.
You definitely would have had a better career. You would have been
on the main roster. Like we jumpstarted him.
Like, I'm here for Brian Pillman Jr. I'm not here for Lexus King at all. Then you attack Mr. Stone after you lose.
Who beats up Robert Stone besides Braun Breaker?
Who beats up Robbie E?
Besides Braun Breaker, but like, come on now.
The Wolf Dogs and the OC have a backstage altercation because, you know, Baron Corbin just can't leave well enough alone.
Like, ha ha, AJ hits you, to which Carl Anderson responded, you do it.
Like, Baron Corbin could have laid him out.
Like, a kayfabe aside, Baron Corbin is a golden gloves boxer. Like, yes, one of them hits would have been a knockout blow. Like, Logan Paul, who?
Gigi Dolin takes on Jada Parker next.
After both of them were backstage in Ava's office wondering what's next for the both of them.
Ava said each of them.
One of them having a less of an attitude than the other. Ava said, all right, cool. What's next for you two is each other. Match. Bye.
I'm saying at some point in the match, Ariana Grace comes out, I guess, on Gigi's side?
No. Ariana Grace came out on Ariana Grace's mission, as she does. Like, why can't we all get along? I could have swore this was a wrestling company, but hey. All right, we kind of got to fight, babes.
Miss NXT just wants everyone to be friends. I love Miss NXT.
As far as kayfabe goes, we ain't. But, like, backstage, we all under each other Instagram posting my bestie and all that good stuff. But, like, still.
Jada Parker comes out with the win.
With just a hit. Like, just a right hand.
Forearm to the mouth, baby.
Forearm, right hand. Whatever one. Didn't you not like it the week before?
Still kind of don't, but, like. If my forearm is going to be dropping these females.
Crack them in the mouth.
I was like, we then have our NXT Heritage Cup match as Noam Dar defended against Charlie Dempsey. obviously under British rounds rules.
I thought that was what you was calling whatever team that all them boys is.
I just said Charlie. I don't got time for the name. But
no quarter catch. There it is. No quarter catch crew.
But yes, for those not familiar with the Heritage Cup rules, there are 6 3-minute rounds, and the first person to score 2 pinfalls in between those 6-minute rounds is the winner. And if those rounds expire and no one has scored a pinfall or the pinfalls are tied, the champion automatically retains. And it wasn't going down like that, as Charlie Dempsey beats Noam Dar in round 5, 2-1, to become the new Heritage Cup champion, which is wild because the no quarter catch crew has 0 NXT television matches, and Charlie Dempsey is now a champion.
0.
Obviously, Charlie Dempsey being the son of William Regal, so I'm obviously going to go a little bit. What?
Allegedly.
No, that is that man's son.
Allegedly.
What?
Allegedly.
No.
Charlie Dempsey, new NXT UK Heritage Cup champion. Him and his boys, the No Quarter Catch crew. Doing good.
What have you heard?
So the next thing to happen on NXT TV.
Okay. In the main events. Mark Henry get paid to say that.
I was gonna say it verbatim in his tone of voice, but I don't got the time. Oh, damn. Oh boy, my man could have checked for one sentence every week.
It's time for the main event.
My man could have checked for one sentence every week. Ooh,
Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov come out to the ring and are joined by Ava. And it appears that Carmelo Hayes wants a championship match at NXT Roadblock, which is subsequently taking place next week.
After their earlier altercation, which technically did open. The first match was the counter, but the opener was the Mad Dragon storming the ring, yelling for Carmelo, "Melo, you suck. You ain't this. You ain't that. Get out here." To which Carmelo did come out there. Surrounded by security. Baby look like,
because I'm the greatest.
He looked like that. You remember that John Cena Mania entrance, like with all them dudes? Like, that's how Melo. That's how Melo looked. That's how Melo looked.
Melo had 35 security dudes.
Like, Melo had about 35 security dudes just right there. Like, if we ain't talking titles, we ain't talking. Left. Like, just showed up with his 35 security dudes. Said that. Said I ain't talking to you, and then left with his 35 security dudes.
Egregious.
Boy, he was on one that night.
I'm going to say, but it looks like they're talking titles, and Carmelo and Ilya are at the table with Ava contract in hand. And, you know, after Melo, you know, just y'all talk about the mouth for a minute. The Don of NXT,
it's all Tony about
D'Angelo, makes his presence known, makes his way to the ring, tells Carmelo that you don't have to be him or the champion to get things done around here, because he's the Don. He snaps his fingers. Carmelo security, gone. Ava gets out the chair in the middle. Like, Tony D sits at the head of the table. Roman Reigns stop. But Roman Reigns ain't going to see Tony D, first of all. But
Roman Reigns ain't got it, baby, because, like, you got a bloodline, I got a family. Like, it's for y'all. It is a canonic building full of us just in the walls.
Like, it's like a restaurant. Like,
we got a restaurant ready of people just in the walls lurking.
But no, not only did Tony D'Angelo come in and just take over the contract segment, he, little brother Carmelo,
sunned that man on live free TV, like VL in the worst way. Oof.
Like, do not interrupt me while I'm talking.
Didn't even look at that man when he
said
that.
Didn't even look at him, like, straight up, like, do not interrupt me while I am talking. And then proceeded to finish talking to
Ilya Dragunov, just like,
with the gist of it being, Tony says that the title scene has been around Trick Melo and Ilya for about 8 months now, so it's time to put a stop to that. Which is why he wants to earn him a championship match at Stand and Deliver. So this contract signing is actually a contract signing between the Don, Tony D'Angelo, and Carmelo Hayes for NXT Roadblock, with the winner going on to face Ilya Dragunov at Stand and Deliver. Melo says, "Bet, but just remember, when it comes to this title, I'm the Don, and you know them fighting words right there." So I immediately push Tony D'Angelo into Ilya Dragunov, then plant Tony D'Angelo through that table, signs that contract. I'm the greatest.
I mean, he was in that instance.
So next week, the Don and him battle it out to determine who goes on to face Ilya Dragunov.
Who you got?
I needed to be the Don. Like, for the NXT people, y'all know that when we did NXT versus NXT 2.0, that 2.0 team, like, came out on top. And, like, those three of those four men have gone on to prominence. Carmelo Hayes, the former North American and NXT champion. Bron Breakker, current NXT tag team champion, former two-time NXT champion, current SmackDown superstar. Grayson Waller, current SmackDown superstar, hosts my own talk show, just did it in my home country.
Carmelo Hayes, also the last NXT, or the last WWE Cruiserweight champion.
Yes, sir.
Unified those belts in their match with Roderick Strong.
All right, so who does that leave now? That leaves the Don, man number four, Tony D'Angelo, former NXT Tag Team Champion.
It's all about the family.
Like, I believe it's time for the Don to properly take hold of his business.
All right.
And how do I do that?
You do that without an accent. You do that without that accent. You do that.
I do that with the NXT Championship.
Oh, I greatly appreciate you.
It's all about family. Oh,
what did I just say?
Business.
What did I not even just say?
But yeah, I'm going Tony D. Like, also because I feel Trick is also going to come back.
It's going to be Tony D because in the middle of the match, you're going to hear whoop that Trick, and it's not going to be fake. In the middle of the match, you got to hit the strongest name they known to man. Just like in the middle of it. Just
that theme song so hot. Like, as soon as y'all hear those trumpets, it's up.
Not even the trumpet.
You're going to hear the bass drop.
Yeah.
Because when I interrupt, it's just bass drop.
For the interruption, it's just the bass drop. For the intro, like, you get the trumpets, like, cause you know it's grand and all that. But if I'm just interrupting, like, boom, 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 like, yeah, nah, like, we're just gonna get right to business.
Nah, people, like, just to mess with them, bust off the whole bitch. I want the trump just to mess with them.
I don't need that because on the outside, from an outside perspective, that's just dead time. Like, that's dead. Cause you know, music hits, screen on Melo's shocked face for about 5-10 minutes. Screen go or camera goes to Trick.
The trumpets last as long as it's gonna take for Trick to come out of. Cause even on that beat drop, you still gonna get them 5 seconds before Trick just runs.
Even still, that's dead time.
Trick music, it works.
That puts me in the same area of interruptions during the Royal Rumble match, i.e., something happens on the ramp and we act like we can't just start chucking folks over this top rope.
That is exactly what
let me tell you, I done threw everybody. Like, Becky can't. Like, we just out here chucking everybody that's looking at that ramp going over that top rope. By the time Becky is a group, by the time they let Becky in this rumble, it's just me and her. Come on. Come on, baby. You already had a match too. I'm going to do, like, girl, because, like, dead time is dead time. So, you know, I just need that beat drop. But, yeah, Tony D winning because Trick Williams come back, you know, whoop that Melo. Also, because Ilya said that Tuesday. That is exactly why Trick coming back, because Ilya said that Tuesday.
I cringed, and you know
WWE love doing stuff like that, because remember the QR code for last year's Deadline? Corey Jade's voice saying, "See you soon." So, like, yeah, you know they love stuff they like that.
Them little Easter eggs.
Like, because for the Nia return before Raquel's match, she said, "I'm not like most girls." And then, you know, her.
But yeah, that was this week's NXT. Like, that was a good show. Like, that was a very decent NXT. Yeah. Like, we got a huge return in Sean. I ain't gonna say huge, but we got a huge return in Sean Spears. It was kept under the radar. First of all, that's so refreshing.
Didn't know that man from Paul, baby. Like
no one knew this was coming.
Anybody could have popped out there.
Like, it was kept under wraps very well. Like, no one even speculated that. Like, me and you were speculating, like, there was probably the TN Shaw thing.
Yeah.
Like, no one even speculated that this could have been Sean Spears / Ty Dillinger. Like I said, WWE said Sean Spears, so I guess that's what we're going with. Like, so I ain't gonna dwell too long on that.
We got a SmackDown to talk about.
But yeah, I'm giving NXT a 9 for the return alone.
NXT got a solid 10, pun intended.
You would.
Of course I would. Like, wait. Like, of course they get a 10. The 10 came back. Like, chillax.
Like I said, like, I want to get a 10, but like, it's the Von Wagner list that's going on.
Hey, baby, Von Wagner got to do it, but that's definitely why I got a 10. Like, Von Wagner got a televised do it, but I don't care what nobody said. Like, Lex is who? Like, little Brian Peelman? Like...
Oh man, next up is the go home show for AEW Revolution. I forgot. This is AEW.
We just out here in AEW.
Dynamite. Don't worry, we're gonna get the SmackDown. It's coming, it's next.
We've been here for a minute. We just not here on Wednesday. All right. We be doing it though.
Like, we be doing it. We
proud
doing
of
it
for y'all. Proud of y'all sticking here with us. We still talking. We still rambling. I'm just doing it.
We love y'all, man. All right. We start off AEW Dynamite with Hangman Page, who, according to his name graphic, does not look too good. Like, just straight up what it said.
Oh, yeah, that's just our way. It's going to film about like that. It's just been saying that lately.
Like the AEW name bar is undefeated.
Doesn't look too good. It's just like standing one for Hangman.
But, yes, he comes out limping on a crutch, playing up, saying that he may have been injured in the match last week with Rob Van Dam, Hook, Samoa Joe, Brian Cage, and yada, yada, yada. Basically says that he can't compete at Revolution. Swerve comes out, says that fate and destiny cannot be escaped, and it is his destiny to be champion at the end of AEW Revolution, which then brings out AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
I mean, y'all talking about my title. I might as well just bring it out
and
here.
Let them people know what's going on. Say y'all, they said that y'all, like Samoa Joe promo, like not verbatim, but I'm going to give y'all the clip notes. Samoa Joe said, they say that you two are two young, hungry competitors. I don't see that because y'all have been here grinding. Y'all have been here doing this and that. Like, I know y'all pedigree. Y'all are two hungry, seasoned competitors. The reason y'all are hungry is because I am out here starving y'all. Because when I am out here, there is no dinner time.
I
heard that. I was like, let these people know.
That was a head of the table promo. Like, but we'll leave it. Like, that was a head of the table promo. But, like, man, just said I'm head of the table in AEW, but like, it's okay.
Like everybody's so hungry because I'm starving.
You. Okay, head of the table.
Samoan in professional wrestling. I'm still on that. Like, I call that man Samoa Joe that for a reason because the bloodline got y'all tweaking over the left. 3-4 years. Nah, bro, Samoa Joe been doing it for a while.
Man, he was in a poncho a few years ago, so he ain't been doing it for a while. Like,
still did better. Oh, don't worry, Swerve murdered up. Said, like, since you got so much to say, like, since all you got to do is talk, like, after I beat you, you go back to commentary and talk in your poncho.
Hey, let him know.
Like, Swerve said, I will do whatever it takes because I am the same man who went into a wrestling school and dropped an 18-year-old boy, leaving him bloody. I'm the same man who went into another wrestler's house and threatened his infant child. And then, you know, upon hearing that, Hangman had to reveal that he wasn't injured because all you had to do was not talk about that, baby.
Like, all you had to do was not say my daughter's name. But like, whose house? Whose house?
Hangman's
shot to
house.
The back. Shot to the back. That's whose house it is. That is whose house it is. And don't ever forget it.
We like, swerve.
Ha, 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 ha. Ashton Kutcher came out from the barricade, put a camera in his face and said, you got knocked out. It was real funny.
You got knocked out? Oh, okay. But yes, the three-way is still on. That was just Hangman's little quick way to get a jump on Swerve, I guess.
And that did what for your character? But like nothing. The answer is nothing. But like moving on.
Through the night, the Young Bucks are looking for Sting.
They are the EVPs.
That Tank Tron still says Young Bucks.
They are the EVPs.
Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, there the Young you go. Bucks.
Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the EVPs.
Whatever.
Fine.
Fine as in okay or fine as in money?
Fine as in money, 10K. I need that for next week.
No.
Fine again. Detention. But
next, the Blackpool Combat Club, Brian Danielson, John Moxley, and Claudio Castagnoli takes on FTR and the Continental Crown Champion, Eddie Kingston.
Baby got to be tired of toting around 3 belts. Like... Maybe got
that's what Daniel Bryan thinks. Like, that's what Brian Danielson
thinks. No. Daniel Bryan thinks he should carry around 3 belts. He don't care that, like, him and Eddie King, like, that's the only thought. Like, he sees Eddie King some 3 belts, like, you know what?
I think I should do that.
Like, I'm gonna do that. Like, just, I'm gonna do that. That's it. I'm like, that's just it. That's the only track and train to throw. Like, you know what? I should do that.
Like, all right. Well, like, but, yes, this, whatever you thought we was gonna get from the BCC FTR and Eddie Kingston.
You got it.
You right.
Like, this is a BCC versus right. FTR and Eddie Kingston match. Fight like, fist, no like flips.
That, just. Like that, obviously, Danielson don't like Kingston. Claudio is Claudio Castagnoli. The FTR and is FTR. And obviously, we got our mock Kingston.
Like, just gonna
like
look at
they,
each other.
Like, they look dead at each other. Just look at each other like, y'all, like, should we just do the thing? Like, yeah, you know, we got to do the thing. Like, you know, we fought 18 times and we love each other. Like, I love you, Mark. Love you too, Kingston. Grabs the back of the neck and then starts to punch us. Like, love they didn't do a Sami KO style, but, like, Sami KO style is still my favorite one right now. Well, like, when Sami can KO a few, it was on sight. But, yes, this would be Bryan Danielson's night as after we all spam our finishers, I hit Eddie Kingston with the knee.
The boo cycle.
I didn't hit him with the Heelys. And then I choke him up in my strongman triangle choke, winning this match by submission. And yes, like that's exactly what he does. He put him in the triangle.
And then flexes and won. Thunder thighs are on the move. Thunder thighs are loose.
I'm like, once again, just very good match. Like, love when Bryan Danielson gets to wrestle on TV in general.
Bryan Danielson.
Like, cause he busts out the yes chance, like, in the closing moment. So like,
that ain't decided. You don't do that, but it's okay.
Like, you feel me? So like,
but these names don't matter. People it's like the moral of this podcast. Before we get to the end, like the moral of this podcast, your name don't really matter.
Your name don't matter.
Somebody gonna call you what they want to call you. Names don't matter, baby. Baby.
Do they not? Cause I got one for you. While we still in the Dynamite review, I got you in a second. Will Ospreay is now All Elite. People rejoice.
He is done with all of his New Japan obligations. He is over here with us to give y'all these 5-star bangers.
And as he's talking about how he's going to do that, we are then reminded that he is a member of the Don Callis family. So who should come out but the Don Callis family? Taking credit for everything Will Ospreay did in AEW so far. Like, bro, he done had 3 matches. You already took credit for all of them. Jeebus H. Christ, Mr. Jackal. Like, you could not be here. But obviously, Don Callis is also here just to hype up the family match that is going to be Will Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita at AEW Revolution. Why are family members fighting? Because I'm definitely going to leave this faction. Takeshita and Ospreay shake hands, but you know, Takeshita got the little death grip on him, like.
And Ospreay got the death grip back, like.
Ospreay got the death breath back, like, what? Like you trying something right now, Takeshita?
Like, because it was all fun and games until you yanked me back and the elbow came across your face. Like hidden blades come out of nowhere now. Like, it's 2024. Like, catch
it. Boy, that turnaround could have been a lot different.
Turnaround could have been an elbow to your thing, and we just looking at you. Removed.
I was like, up next, Orange Cassidy defended his AEW International Championship against Nick Wayne. Obviously, early on, the Patriarchy got ejected for trying to get involved. But this was, once again, another great showing for the 18-year-old Nick Wayne. That's the 18-year-old that Swerve left laying in his aforementioned promo. But yeah, Orange Cassidy proving that he is AEW's best wrestler. He is. Like, wasn't expecting much when he took that belt from Pac, because didn't think he deserved it. Like,
did not.
Like, my co-host Quan canonically hated it.
I hated it for like a month and a half. I'm all right with it. Like, it's okay.
Because Orange Cassidy been out here putting in their work, man. He's
been doing it. W-E-R-K.
Like, you see me with this belt on every show. Like, it. Like, if it's Collision, Dynamite, Rampage, Battle of the Belts, I defend this championship. And, like, I love that in a champion. Like, Roman Reigns is shaking. Obviously, there was about to be some interference from the Undisputed Kingdom before Chaos came out, and even the Oz, Trent Beretta, and Rocky Romero. Then, just as another slight towards the Patriarchy, Daniel Garcia, who's challenging Christian Cage for the TNT Championship of Revolution, also came and stopped some interference from Nick Wayne to allow Orange Cassidy to hit the glockiest of orange punches to pick up the win. I'm talking about it was some stank on shoulder.
Hop that thing back and let go.
Let freedom ring on that boy. And yes, they battle to even odds against the Undisputed Kingdom to stand tall ahead of Orange Cassidy's new challenger, Roderick Strong. Like, please remember that all these matches Orange Cassidy has been having has just been to say, Roderick Strong, you can fight me a revolution if you want to. I'm in the meanwhile just going to defend this title 19 times until then. And which is what I did. Like, Roderick Strong challenged me 3 months ago, and I just decided, like, okay, while you wait 3 months for your chance, I'm just going to defend this belt.
And don't get mad when somebody else becomes champion.
Like, and don't get mad, like, if any, between now and Revolution, if anybody had managed to beat Orange Cassidy, what would Roderick Strong have done?
Challenge them. Because I'm challenging for the belt, not the person. But still, like, he would have got mad at the person, but, like, then we was just like, hey, baby, like, why you waiting? Like, waited for what?
Like, thought he was playing mind games with Orange Cassidy. That don't work.
Orange Cassidy don't care about mind games. I'm here to wrestle. I'm going to roll out this ring. I'm going to leave.
Like, King of Sloth Style, baby. Like, King of Sloth Style. I definitely don't care about mind games. That's not intangible. Mm-hmm. Sky Blue and Chris Statlander went one-on-one in AEW's Women Action. This was, once again, a pretty good match. Sky Blue being accompanied by Julia Hart, Chris Statlander being accompanied by Stokely Hathaway and Willow Nightingale. Like, they're a team. Things were going good until, you know, Stokely suggests that Chris Statlander bust out this chain real quick and hit Sky Blue with it.
I'm like, hey, girl, you winning, but you want to win.
Like, you want to do it big. You want to do it real big. Big cost, big money, big deals.
Like, bust this not cross it real quick, baby. Like,
and Willow Nightingale, no, that is cheating. But meanwhile
on the other side of the ring, the girls that don't care about cheating, Julia Hart ran in, clips Chris with that belt and just rolled out the ring, allowing Sky Blue to follow up with the Code Blue, which she is that has gotten such the better move. Like, the running,
I love the running running Code Red. I like it a lot better than the standing.
Because she been trying to get it right for the longest. Like, she been hitting the gyms with it and practicing. Like, it is finally showing out wonderfully. Like, Sky hits the Sky Blue and gets to do it on Chris Stats, causing some turmoil outside between Willow and Stokes about whether or not she should have used the chain, whether or not she would have won. At the end of the day, Sky Blue won.
End of the day, Sky Blue won. Like, well, we'll see where this story leads. In our next promotional match with CMLL, Atlantis Jr. takes on Lionheart Chris Jericho. Yes, we went all the way back to the Mexico days, even having Chris Jericho's entrance music from Mexico play over TV. If you watched it live, you got to hear it. If you go back and listen to the YouTube clip, obviously we don't own that music, so we can't play it online. But yes, The Golden Lion, Lionheart, Chris Jericho, El Oro de Leon, that's his name. El Oro de Leon took on Atlantis Jr. Years after his original meeting with Atlantis Sr. In CMLL down during his time in Mexico. They had a tremendous match, ending with Atlantis Sr. throwing in the towel on behalf of Atlantis Jr. after Chris Jericho put him in the Lion Tamer. Once again, just a real good showing. This promising CMLL crossover is still doing good. Like, I'm not mad at it. Like, I'm really enjoying the CMLL crossover.
It's always good when you get to see new talent wherever you're at, and just refreshing. New wrestlers, new combinations of matches, and all that good stuff.
And then the main events.
All right, Mark Henry. Another
segment that's main eventing a show.
You got like one more with him before Mark Henry sent us a tweet. Like.
First of all, if Mark Henry was watching Nerds Wrestling, was listening to Nerds Watching Wrestling, Mark Henry, thank you so much. Shout out to Sealsby, Texas. But yeah. And the main event, the EVP Bucks are coming out looking for Sting. You see everyone in the front row wearing the little Sting mask, including a couple of our homeboys. Shout out Dante Domino. We see you, boy. To be jumped by Darby Allin in the crowd, but obviously the Young Bucks get the better of Darby Allin. And it looks as if Ric Flair, who thought he'd be more involved in Sting's retirement, because this is Sting's retirement run, looks like he's going to come out and assault Darby before, you know, hitting the Ric Flairiest of Ric Flair punches on the EV Pucks. Love my boy Ric Flair, but that is a 78-year-old man.
That is. That man is 97 years old.
So, obviously, after just kicking him in the famous jewels, Ric Flair is down and out.
Of course, that man is 102 years old. Of course, he is down and out after being kicked right there. Like, them things probably dropped, like, off his body. After that, like, boy, that kick probably turned him to dust. Woo, child. Woo, emphasis on the woo, but woo, child. Jeepus. Anyway, after that, Sting got after one of his world famous Sting spots off, yes, and like, descended from the rafters. That's like what I was trying bird. To get to.
Like, yes, and what is Sting's final television appearance on Turner Broadcasting Television? Sting descended from the rafters as he famously did to attack the NWO all those years ago to come out and get the bet on the Young Bucks, dropping Nicholas Jackson with the Scorpion Death Drop for the tag champions to stand tall. This being Sting's final television appearance before his retirement match tomorrow night at AEW Revolution. Before we move on from AEW, just want to get you guys' thoughts. First of all, we'll see how long this retirement lasts, because, you know, it's professional wrestling. Bruh came out of retirement to come here, but this is the called my shot retirement. Like, this is me going out on top of time. And for me, watching Sting in the 2010s was always special. I remember when I first started getting into wrestling, Sting was in TNA at the time, so I didn't really know his WCW career, but I remember they always called him the Icon, and I wanted to know why, so I decided to follow up on his career. The career that Sting has led from the 80s to 2024 is something mad magical that I honestly can't believe I have the pleasure of seeing coming to an end. You guys got any favorite Sting moments, man?
OG, I want to hear from you. You got more of a Sting recollection than the combination of me and the one ZJP.
Right, because you got all, you might have territorial knowledge. All I got is TNA and WWE.
Man, let me tell you, I got that WWE run with Seth. I got some TNA in there. Like, we going to call it. Like, you want to talk about that white dude with the blonde hair and that little blue streak? Nah, I ain't got that. Y'all got David Bowie?
Man, I remember turning to the famous 6:05 Eastern, 5:05 time on TBS, where it was done all in studio, dude. Sting had just got through wrestling or some jobber or whatever, you know? And I was like, yo, who is this kid? And, like, he started talking. He cut that famous first ever promo. But the one thing I remember the most was, like, he finally got hold of Ric Flair. He had Ric Flair in the Scorpion Deathlock. He had Barry Windham, he wasn't in the Horseman yet. Barry Windham was protecting him. I think Lightning Tim Horner was protecting him, and the Horseman couldn't even get in the ring. And I was just sitting there, just amazed and astonished. But honestly, man, seeing what he's doing in TNA, it upsets me for one reason and one reason only. Like, dude, we could have got Taker versus Sting. I just look at it like that. We could have got that, but
yeah, Sting was one of them contracts they didn't acquire.
But that dude, man, watching where he started, where he is now, man. Honestly, if they ever say a person loses a step, he probably lost a half a step, maybe. That's it.
Half a step is being generous.
Like, I can't even get no lower. You can't even get any lower, but for him.
Right, but Sting's still jumping off stuff. Like, to,
dude,
this day.
For him to do what he's able to do at this age.
Like, baby, doing the rapper spot at this, like, age.
That is crazy, though. But it just shows to dedication to training and everything. But, yeah, Sting in his younger days, bro. Whew, wow. We should have a show just about that. And I really cut loose, but I'm not going to take up that much time, though.
Quan, any favorite Sting moment?
I bring it into the new school a little bit. Joker Sting. I go over there and over in the TNA.
Joker Sting, boy.
That man went crazy in all the good ways.
Yes, I remember that too.
Well, my favorite Sting moment was actually the first time I saw Sting. Like I said, I got to wrestling like 2009, 2010, and my first company that I was watching was TNA. I want to say it's early 2011. Yeah, about January, February 2011, TNA is running Impact out of North Carolina, and they booked Jeff Hardy to defend the world title against mystery opponent. And it's for the first time that I get to actually see Sting, because he returns, because when I started really watching TNA, it was after Bound for Glory, and Sting had left after Bound for Glory for a little while. So Sting comes back as the shock challenger for Jeff Hardy. North Carolina's going ham. Jeff Hardy looks like he's seen a ghost. Like, and then they go on to have a banger 30-minute match with Sting coming out on top and winning the World Heavyweight Championship from Jeff.
Was that a pay-per-view?
No, this was free Thursday TV.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
However, this match unfortunately does precede Victory Road 2011.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so Victory Road 2011 was actually the rematch. But this being Sting's return, a World Heavyweight title match featuring my favorite wrestler, and watching just like a true legend come out still in his prime, like that was amazing for me. Like, I've been riding on with Sting ever since. But yes, that is AEW Dynamite. With Sting getting the grand hurrah at the end and the tremendous action that we had, I'm giving AEW a 9.5.
Solid 9.5 as well.
Good episode, Dynamite.
I ain't see it, bro. I'm sorry.
That's a 9.5 from OG as well.
I will take that.
From this point forward, anytime OG has not seen it, he's just going to vote whether we vote.
You damn right. I split the difference. It's a
9.5 from him as well.
I split the difference.
Are you ready?
I mean, we've been talking about it all show. Like, it's just been bleeding this little blue show in, like, for the whole time.
Well, let's go on, stop wasting time, and just jump right into it. Throughout the night, you will notice that LA Knight is just looking for AJ Styles, because AJ Styles decided to fly all the way to Perth just to beat LA Knight up with a chair inside the elimination chamber. And then flew
right back to my house in Georgia, baby.
I'm
just chilling. Like, you stole my moment, I stole yours. Even?
Like, towards the end of the night, Nick Aldis finds LA Knight. Said, like, I know you, LA. That's why I told AJ not to be here. And LA Knight tells Nick Aldis, if you know me half as well as you think you do, you know that there's nothing y'all can do to stop me from finding AJ. Is that so? Yeah. Like, I'm glad Nick Aldis does know who LA Knight is, because, like, he definitely set it up, like, is that so? Audience, yeah. Yeah. Like, what? The show kicks off proper with Grayson Waller and Austin Theory laughing at Randy Orton in the locker room about to get knocked out with the brass knucks, also at Elimination Chamber. You know, Randy Orton having an aneurysm laughing with them. So here's what's going to be real funny. What's going to be real funny is I'm going to let y'all choose who goes to the ring with me, and I'm going to do my best impression of ripping somebody's face off. Theory is going to be you. Oh my God, this is going to be hilarious. My main event match is set up. And then we finally get into some action as the center of the universe, Tiffany Stratton, takes on Naomi.
I beat in 3 minutes.
So there's a lot of short action on SmackDown this week. Mm. Like, because SmackDown was mostly about the segments. But, like, yes, Naomi and Tiffany Stratton put on the best match they could in 3 minutes, with Tiffany Stratton coming out on top with the PME, prettiest moonsault ever. Obviously building up a lot of momentum, which is needed on the road to WrestleMania. Braun Breaker beat Zion Quinn in 7 seconds, and Carlito and Santos Escobar had a street.
Our co-host did not know Braun won a 7 second match.
Like, oh yeah, Braun Breaker just won a 7 second match, OG.
Ding ding ding, spear 1, 2, 3. The time it took me to run across the ring and spear him is the time the match had.
Spear and pose.
I speared him, looked at him, barked, pinned him. That was the match.
There we go then.
NXT Tag Team Champion Braun Breaker.
Nothing wrong with that. But
I am a Steiner, ladies and gentlemen.
But you know what's funny though? I can believe that. I've seen this guy. I can believe that. So it's all good.
Like, Braun Breaker has been clocked running the ropes at 26 miles an hour.
I rest my case.
Like, oh boy, I saw the little video lab from his other match when he was just going.
When he was just hitting the rope, he just kept getting faster.
Who did I think was gonna be in Tien Shaw?
Dante Chen.
Yeah, when he fought Dante Chen, he ran ropes on Dante like that.
Like, you just watched him got faster and like, faster and
that
faster.
That might just go and then he keeps that momentum with him. None of that is wasted. It's lost energy, lost movement, lost anything, because it's all just coming at you with my shoulder.
Hey, but his dad was honestly. His dad was the most athletic, the more athletic of the two brothers, though, for real.
Rick?
Yeah, Rick was. So
he was. Scott was stout, little boy.
But, dude, wow.
Next, Carlito and Santos Escobar fought each other in a street fight. They came dressed for the occasion. Well, Escobar was wearing white, but like they came dressed for the occasion.
The things that we're about to leave my mouth should not leave them on the podcast based on the people that we're about to see. So I will refrain from saying the things that I want to say, and I will say what I said during the wall spot. We came to the fight in what we wrestle in, because this was a street fight, but it was still a wrestling match. We wrestle in this gear, you bum. This ring is sacred. Dress. We wipe our feet before we touch this ring.
We definitely will not sully the great name.
We wipe our feet before we touch this ring. We definitely not finna wear jeans and t-shirt. First of all, Giovanni Vinci and Lou Vicenza don't own a pair of jeans or a t-shirt, if that's what you're looking for. Like if that's what you're looking for.
Slacks
like,
and
man, it would have been
Gucci slacks and Santos Escobar is canonically in Versace in this street fight. That's what I'm saying. Santos Escobar is in Versace in this street fight.
But
while Carlito was in jail,
they would have had a crease shot.
The crease on them slacks would have been a whipping in their street fight. Can you imagine the Shining Wizard? I ain't gonna slice.
Once again, this was more segment than street fight, because after the Latin Wolves, Angel and Humberto got involved. The LWO comes out to get involved, even the score. And then we get the return of Rey Mysterio
Let me ask you a question right now.
It is better than
yes.
Go.
Yes, whatever you finna say, Ray's mask is worse. Whatever was
worse
about to come
than
out.
Kane's over mask when he came back.
I would much rather see baby hair on the back Kane.
It's like they melted that mask with a blowtorch, then stuck
it on his face, baby. Like I would much
it's
rather
like they melted that over mask and then just threw it on
like,
Ray.
Give me Kane his boss baby back hair. I will take that. Ray Mysterio, baby, no sir.
Like that mask,
whoever cleared that mask, fire him. Like
Carlito won the street fight, by the way.
Bane from the streets of Gotham, baby. Like, of course, Carlito won. Had Bane on his side.
Are you serious?
Boy.
I got to see this.
Damage Control versus Bayley and Dakota Kai.
And your guess what you'll never see coming segment of the night.
Ends in a no contest, I guess, because I don't remember hearing a bell ring, but they just jumped Bayley and left.
And your guess what you'll never see coming spot
but yeah,
of the
like,
night.
Whoever had Dakota Kai actually being on Bayley's side, you're wrong.
You're wrong. Come on now.
Dumb. Like,
didn't we talk about this?
We did, and all of us agreed. We were in agreement that Dakota Kai going to turn on Bayley. There was nothing that could give us any indication that Dakota Kai was Bayley. They jumped me. What are we gonna do?
Come on, dude. Come on, man.
Like, they know they need a translator.
You know what? Even though I didn't see it, I'm glad they just got it over with where I didn't see it, because I wouldn't have destroyed it. What'd you say, Zach?
They know they need a translator, so.
The next segment.
Backstage afterwards.
We trying to get Japanese people, man.
We trying to be multinational. Here you are.
Jay Cargill comes face-to-face with Io Shirai backstage. And then there's a Bloodline segment. Hooray. TLDR, The Rock challenges Seth and Cody to a tag team match at night one of WrestleMania, where if Cody and Seth win, the Bloodline will be barred from night two's main event. Meanwhile, if the Bloodline wins, the main event.
So you mean the Bloodline's only barred from the Cody and Roman match, and not and not the Drew and Seth match.
Yeah.
Boy, they're gonna jump the hoops through that loophole.
First of all, it's the fact that we're now putting both world title matches on night two.
Wait a minute.
Because yes, Rock made this challenge for night one of Mania. So that means either Seth has to go on before the tag match and then do the tag match, or everything happens at night two.
Me, Drew McIntyre, is making Seth do double duty night one. Since you want to fight them so bad, I challenge you for night one.
Like, I challenge you for night one. We're opening the show.
Let's go.
Like, looks up, I was there in his face, we're opening the show.
All right, so.
You want to be focused on everything and everything, bit. Since I'm obviously a distraction for you and you want to help the bloodline so bad, I will open WrestleMania by taking your title.
Nice.
Like, come on, Drew, make it happen.
So basically, it's this right here. They realize that we the fans have figured out that
if they did
have a tag match that somehow, some way, Rock was going to cost Roman the match and we would get the match for night two. But instead, we're going to cost Roman to get pinned, whatever's going to go down. Cody and Roman is going to wrestle night two. Something else might go down. Then we're going to delay and pull a WrestleMania 28 and have a match scheduled a year ahead of time. Is that what we were doing? With Rock and Roman?
Nah, I'm going to tell you what we're doing, because now that we finally got that out the way, I can circle back. So what's going to happen is that at this tag team match, right, we're going to go ahead and have Cody and Seth win that. So that way all the bloodline is gone. Ain't no bloodline, okay. None of that. So that way when Cody finally finishes the story, right, y'all know how we were talking about that Money in the Bank briefcase, right, with Damian, right? So, like, I ain't even worried about the World Heavyweight Championship no more. Here's what we're going to do to Cody, right, since he want to have so much adversity and want to talk about his story. We're going to finish your story, Cody. We're going to let you win a championship at WrestleMania, Cody. We're going to let the power go off, Cody. Then, if you believe, Judgment Day just going to run down and start mobbing. Like, I'm going to mob the Rock, make sure he down. I'm going to mob on Cody. Then Damian going to cash in that Money in the Bank briefcase, and we're going to leave WrestleMania with Damian Priest
as the WWE champion. Honestly, that is beautiful. I am not going to dispute that. That is a beautiful ending. But let me ask you this then real quick. Fredo, what I was saying, are we going to get that a year later?
Rock, I don't want a at this point, I don't want a Rock and Roman 1-on-1 match anymore.
I'm glad you said it, because I was telling people, you know, like, dude, it was scheduled for years ago, but things went awry. So who cares now? Like, I'm still waiting for this beautiful ride that he promised us. You know what I'm saying? What about old boy who just got signed? Haku's son. Will he have a role? Yeah, will he have a role? Because he's technically not a part of the bloodline yet. But they consider him family.
He ain't on TV yet, so if he just comes out on TV and immediately helps the bloodline, I'm going to go ahead and throw his career right.
Throwing his career in the dumper, baby.
Not the dumper.
After the challenge is made, The Rock tries to go for his shtick. Roman tells Rock to acknowledge him, and Rock does.
Like, just blatant, like, hey, I acknowledge you. Tried.
All right, we go.
In the main event, Austin Theory took on Randy Orton with Kevin Owens at commentary. RKO of the year, right there, because boy, that rolling stunt, that rolling RKO just dropped off the tier, boy.
The honor roll KO is not to be trifled with already.
On the BS, the RKO out of nowhere leads to a Randy Orton victory on Austin Theory. Grayson Waller tries to attack after the match, but Kevin Owens comes out and even the odds, and KRKO stands tall. You know, we just combined letters at this point. So,
so you didn't call them RKO because...
Because then it's just Randy. Because then it's just Randy. If I just leave it as
R and KO, they are R and KO.
Like, if I just leave it at RKO, that's just Randy.
R and KO.
But yes, that was SmackDown. Like I said, like, just a lot of segment heavy with some mid action. So
we were segment heavy talking about SmackDown the whole night. Like, good lord.
So I'm giving SmackDown a good little 8.3.
7.5.
I split the difference. Give me 7.936.
And that is what we got for the week. Obviously, we are getting ready for Revolution tomorrow. Just some highlights of tomorrow. There will be the AEW three-way match between Samoa Joe, Hangman Page, and Serge Strickland. Timeless Tony Storm will defend the AEW Women's Championship against
Deonna Purrazzo. I was slick finna ask you what women's match happened. I forgot all about that.
Yes, sir. Like we said, Will Ospreay, who is now All Elite, will be facing Konosuke Takeshita. Christian Cage will defend the AEW TNT Championship against Daniel Garcia. And, of course, the retirement match for Sting as he is and Darby Allin. Is the main event. I really hope it is.
It is. It's
been confirmed?
Yes, it's confirmed. Sting's last match in wrestling right now.
Will be the main event for Revolution.
Sting and Darby Allin against the EVPs for the AEW World Tag Team titles.
I think that would be a good way to end the show, though. No lie.
I low-key want Sting to retire as champion. Like, I know there's a thing about going down on your shoe, and he already didn't want to win the belts to begin with. But like,
I feel like the books beating Sting, it sets up a debut and a return in the company, because it's just the book standing tall and we've already seen that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sour ish for Sting. Like it's gonna be the whole sad thank you Sting moment in the middle of the ring, like confetti everywhere from the book, from the EVP celebration ceremony. Like then just Sting right there, have his paint peeling off, just the crowd crying, cheering, thank you Sting, while you know EVP's right there with belts.
Oh, but this thank you Sting is gonna be so wonderful.
This thank you Sting finna go off.
It's huge. It's huge, bro.
So yes, cannot wait.
He's the last of that gen, yo. For real.
Cannot wait for Revolution. Like I'm looking forward to the card. But yes, that is all I have. That's all we have for you guys in wrestling. Final thoughts from the crew, starting with Dariba.
I'm going to say what I was just about to say when you guys were talking about it. Yo, okay, Taker is completely old school, but even he went out on top in his last match.
I beat AJ Styles and whatever that was.
So Sting could flip that. So real quick, it could be y'all last thoughts. Who you think could team with Darby Allin? Because you guys were talking about it could be a big comeback for somebody. Who could fit in right perfect and roll with Darby Allin as the tag team champions? Who y'all think? If it were to go that way with Sting going out on top, that is.
Ric Flair.
Are you serious?
You said that just to say something. Like you don't believe that.
Not in the slightest. But
does Darby have friends?
No.
I don't know.
Sting.
I don't know.
AR Fox back there.
I would say Jack Perry.
I'm over here in NJPW, baby. Like, AR Fox back there chilling. Like, he counting, don't he? If he don't, wow. Like, just if you don't count, wow, I lost a friend because of you.
What about a returning Kenny Omega?
I
know that's a stretch, but like,
that hip still ain't that hip still ain't got hip in it.
I'm like, JQ, any final thoughts?
Just keep watching wrestling, folks. Just watch the wrestling,
enjoy it, baby. The greatest entertainment on TV.
I'm like, well, you heard it from the two finest gentlemen who I could ever podcast with right now. For the Reaper Torsi and for Quan Deniable, I am SWS ZJ Pierce, reminding you that we beat them nerds for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.